This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
It's Friday, and we're opening the gateway to your weekend here on Kelly and Company. Thanks for joining us until 4 p.m. Eastern time on AMI Audio. If you want to join the conversation, of course you're welcome to. 1-866-509-4545 is our phone number. And if you leave us a voicemail on this line and you want us to play it on air, please give us permission to do that. Feedback at AMI.ca is our email address. And on Twitter, we are at AMI Audio. I'm Ramya Amuddin here with Danielle McLaughlin, and it's time for us to talk lifestyle as we do on Fridays with producer Jeff Ryman.
From fashion to travel, pets and more, we cover it all on the Lifestyle Report with me, Jeff Ryman.
Jeffy, I'm just going to take it back a notch to a quick conversation Danielle and I were having over the break about picky eaters.
Okay.
and she's a mom, so she's probably dealt with a lot more picky eaters.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. And a wife. But are you guys, would you consider yourselves picky eaters? Danielle, Jeff?
Me?
No, I will eat almost anything.
yeah. Okay.
Pretty, yeah. yeah. I what can I say? I really like to eat. there are a few
and
things.
And you'll try that, things, too. You're not a visual eater, right?
Not so much. There are a couple of things that, you know, I not crazy about, just probably because of my family's culture, but I'm willing to try almost anything, really. I can't think of anything where I draw the line. Maybe durian. I mean, have you
smelt it? That's I haven't smelt it yet.
yeah.
So.
It's the smell. It's actually, if you can get it past your nose, it's really quite nice, but
it's really hard.
it's a little hard, yeah.
Jeffy, have you heard of this fruit, durian?
Yes, I have. I have not tried it, although I would say I'm not a picky eater. The only thing that I wouldn't eat and don't like to eat is seafood. Like at a restaurant, if I'm reading the menu, I don't even glance over the seafood part of it. Mm. I just completely bypass that, stick with the pasta, stick with the steaks, the chickens, you know, that type of stuff. So I wouldn't say I'm a picky eater. Anything you throw in front of me, I most likely will eat, minus the seafood. Although I will say I'm not necessarily the most adventurous with my appetite, with my palate. But, you know, I'm starting to get there. I grew up, in a household where time was of the essence because you're always out doing stuff, going to hockey and whatnot. So we would always have, you know, chicken fingers and fries and pasta out of a jar during the weekday. And then on weekends, we would have a little bit more of a sit down meal if we could. But now that I'm an adult, have a little bit more time, and especially over the last, I don't know, almost 24 months now, we've had an abundance of time to try different recipes and whatnot. So starting to get there. But to answer your question, no, not really a picky eater.
Okay. Well, I mean, you said not picky eater, but then you said no to all seafood. So then I was like, oh, no. But it's fine. Understandable. And plus, Oma's cheesecakes are just there for everybody, right?
So I guess that's another one. That's
part
another
of that one. Lineage.
He
doesn't like eat it. Cheesecake. I don't even know why I brought this up. It makes me upset every time.
And this is just making me sound really picky and fussy, but I promise you I'm not. Aside from cheesecake and seafood, I'm good.
We'll try again next week. All right. Okay, what do you have for us for lifestyle, though?
Yeah, so just looking on the Canadian Press website that we have here, and there was an article that really stood out to me, and this is obviously very lifestyle-y, and this has to do with your money. And I feel like we don't talk enough about money on the show anymore, especially without our good friend and former regular Ron Malice. But I think a lot of people, once you turn that calendar over into the new year, people like to set goals. And now I'm not a huge resolution person. I guess people can make them. I'm more about maybe achieving a goal. I don't like the word resolution so much. But there's an article that dove into a couple of key points about how to get your financial goals achieved by the end of 2022. So now it got a bunch of expert opinions, and it formed five steps, or at least 5 points you can take to help clear your debt if you have any, or if you want to save more money, save more money. So number one on the list is very important. Get a clear view of what your finances actually look like. So the first step is to get organized. That's what Fong Long, a certified financial planner at Saltbox Financial, had to say about this. I completely agree. How are you supposed to know exactly where you stand if you don't know what your finances are? So that means making a list of your savings, your debt, if you have any, and your assets, if you have any. A complete picture of your finances can help you decide what to focus on for the new year and provide a document that's easy to update annually. She also went in to say, if you're willing to, maybe it's a good idea to track your monthly cash flow with a spreadsheet or an app, because those things are very readily available to us nowadays. Spreadsheets and most definitely apps are definitely out there to help you with your finances. So get those up and running, and that can definitely help you. So yeah, step number one, know what you have and know what you don't have and where you want to go. So to sort of get a more clear view of what your finances look like, very first step, very important as well, I might add again. Number two, take baby steps with your emergency fund. I know some people may not have emergency funds. Some people might have emergency funds. It's probably a good thing to have that. But they can offer flexibility and comfort should you face any unexpected expenses. But building one can actually be a little bit tricky. And this is kind of an interesting point here by one of the advisors. Instead of setting a goal of saving $400 a month, it could be better to save $100 a week or even a smaller daily amount, so there seems to be less friction to getting started with that time period. So that means if you have a goal of saving, say, $1,000 by the end of the year, increase your chances of success by thinking it more of saving just under $3 a day, rather than saying you need to save this much money over the course of an entire month, if you guys know what I mean. And I think there's sort of some psychology and maybe mind over matter a part of that as well. Instead of saying, okay, I need $400 a month, or maybe $100 a week, or maybe even smaller, where you just go, you know, $10 a day or something, you know, maybe set those goals a little bit smaller over a smaller period of time, but you get to the same place in the long run. I think that could go a decently long way, because I know, like myself, you know, $275 a day doesn't sound as daunting as $400 a month, but you end up with the same results come the end of the month. So take some baby steps with your emergency fund if you have one set up, which I would suggest you probably do set up.
Please set one up. Yeah.
It sounds like very good advice. And if you think about it in terms of, can I save a cup of coffee a day or something like that? I think that makes it somewhat less daunting. Yeah. Good advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. A cup of coffee or something, or you know, something that you would spend $3 on a day. If you could save that, then it definitely goes a long way. Automate longer term savings. And another lesson from this is to maybe set up automatic transfers into your savings each month. So for example, if you contribute to an RRSP directly from your paycheck, you have to set it up only once and your savings will continue to be deducted on a regular basis. So you can also sign up for automatically increasing that percentage you are saving each year. So if, or every time you get a salary increase, you can also set up similar automatic transfers into a college savings account or a high yield savings account for other goals, like saving for a down payment on a car or a house or whatever. So if you can just sort of put a little bit aside from your paycheck every month, I know I do this, and you know, so you can grow your savings, maybe grow your RRSP a little bit, just putting some funds aside automatically, so you don't even really have to think about it. It just automatically comes out. Otherwise, people might forget, or maybe they just don't want to do it. But at the same time, I think those automations for longer term savings could definitely help you.
You literally don't even have to think about it, because you know, you're talking about emergency funds, and I think it's a good example of, like, if you don't take advantage of the automated transfers, right, and deposits and such, you'll potentially reprioritize when that money is ready to be sent out. You're thinking, oh, well, maybe I could use this towards something else right now, or you know, stuff feels tight this month, or oh, there was that other thing I needed to get done, and you'll probably talk yourself out of it. Whereas if you don't go into your accounts and it's all sent out where it needs to be, you know, your savings, your long-term savings, your RRSPs, whatever, your investments, then you go in and whatever money is left is what you can actually budget out and not what you should be touching anyways, because, you know, it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, for myself, I can be somewhat forgetful when it comes to things like these, even though it's very important to save for your retirement, especially at a young age too. You know, you might want to get that going sooner rather than later. But, you know, just from my standpoint of being forgetful, or I'm not like this, but I know some people could be like this, where they think, oh, you know, instead of spending $50 into a retirement plan, I'm going to spend $50 on maybe a night out or something. You know, you sort of justify yourself in that moment of what you want to do with that $50. Meanwhile, you know, it probably should go into some sort of savings fund. So if you can do that automatically, then yeah, you don't even think about it. And even if you don't want to do it that month, it goes automatically anyway. So I think those are very valuable. Number four is pay off the debt with the lowest balances. This one, again, is sort of that psychological approach. And I know everybody wants to pay off that highest debt. Say if they have a credit card with a high amount of debt on it or whatever, that's probably what you're trying to prioritize. But it also gives you a perception of success and progress and increases your motivation to pay off bigger accounts if you start with some of the smaller pieces of debt first. So again, it sort of tricks you into, or I guess sort of gives you that momentum and a little bit of confidence that, hey, you're doing the right thing, you're on the right track, don't worry about it, you're doing good. So pay off those small balances first, and then make your way to the bigger accounts. So this is actually called the debt snowball method. So there's actually some sort of technical term behind this that a lot of the economists out there, or the financial experts. Yeah.
And sounds good.
And one last one here is, I think, important as well. Plan for some fun, but obviously budgeting for 2022 doesn't always have to be a downer, even though the last couple of years have kind of been like that. You can fit in some fun if you want to spend and have some plans of the future. Easier said than done right now in this very moment in time, especially if you're living in Canada. But say if you want to take a trip in the summer or the fall, think about the cost of the plane ticket, the hotel, the food, everything involved, because I think some people kind of forget exactly how expensive a trip might be. So if it totals, say, around $3,000, then aim to start saving $375 a month throughout August. So obviously you can throw that into your budget if necessary, and obviously you might want to have a little bit of fun in doing so over the course of the year. So I thought that was kind of a neat article to get people, you know, maybe thinking a little bit more positive about paying off their debt.
Yeah. Absolutely. And all the little things that you mentioned too about savings and all of it. Thanks, Jeffy. Great way to start off the financial process for the year.
No worries, guys.
Talk in a bit. He'll be back for cut for time. That's what he means. After the break, we're going to check in with our friend John Beeler of The App Show. He's in Vegas right now for CES. We'll catch up with him on Kelly & Company.
You've been listening to Kelly & Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.